It's 5 o'clock Pacific time. You're listening to KBPS Portland, KPSU, Portland's college radio. Evenings and weekends at 1450 a.m. citywide. 24 hours a day at kpsu.org, 98.3 FM on the PSU campus. This is the Guitar Shop. I'm DJ Victrola. And we'd like to welcome our AM listeners on board for the evening. Taking us up to the 5 o'clock hour, it was Acoustic Mania and Birdland. Before that, Eric Johnson and Song for George. Before that, Phil Keggy and Mike Pacelli with Remember When. We started it off with Steve Morse and a tune called Picture This. We've got some business to attend to, and on the other side of this, the Travis Larson Band live in the studio.
This is your KPSU community calendar for Wednesday, June 27th. The grassroots environmental group Portland Peak Oil is hosting a Vision PDX meeting at 7 p.m. to discuss the results of last year's survey of more than 15,000 Portlanders about what they want for the future of their city. Portland Peak Oil meets at St. Francis Church at Southeast 12th and Pine. For more info, go to portlandpeakoil.org. At 6, the Central Library is hosting Appreciating Comics, a panel discussion featuring nationally known comic artist Scott McCloud, along with Oregon cartoonists like Colleen Coover, artist of Banana Sunday, and Dylan Nikonis, creator of Family Man. For more info, go to multcolib.org/events. Author Nina Plank will be at Pals on Burnside to discuss her new book, Real Food, in which she argues that red meat, butter, eggs, and chicken skin are actually good for you. For more information, go to Powells.com. The community calendar is a public service of KPSU 1450 AM.
Support for this hour of programming has been provided in part by Music Millennium, Portland's full-service music store for over 25 years. Music Millennium carries all formats of new and used recorded music and maintains a knowledgeable staff. Many new releases can be sampled in the listening chairs and special orders are available. Music Millennium has two locations in Portland at 32nd and East Burnside and Northwest 23rd and Johnson.
This program is brought to you in part by The Scanner Newspaper. The Scanner is an award-winning weekly newspaper whose goal is challenge people to shape a better future now. The Scanner features news, opinion, entertainment, and sports from an African-American perspective. The Scanner is helping to keep people informed. The Scanner is located at 415 North Killingsworth. Their phone number is 503-285-5555, and they can be found on the web at www.thescanner.com.
Imagine plate tectonics, quaint folk music from many lands, crashing against the continental block of progressive metal. You're trapped in suspect terrain. Tuesdays, 1 to 3 p.m. on KPSU Portland.
KPSU, 1450 AM, 98.3 FM, kpsu.org. It's the Guitar Shop. I'm DJ Victrola. And the Travis Larson Band first got together in 1998. They've got three CDs out and a performance DVD, and they are at Music Millennium tonight. And we are very, very happy to have them on the show. All right. I hope you guys can hear me. Welcome to the Guitar Shop.
Can you hear us? That's the question.
Hi.
Hey. So it's actually four CDs out now, but we're touring on the fourth one, which is Rate of Change.
Must be an old bio that our press people got to you.
Who would that have been? Press relations representative? Yeah.
Okay, so let's introduce everybody. We'll start with Travis.
This is Travis. Hello. How you doing? Thanks for having us today.
This is Jennifer. Thanks for having us.
Jennifer plays bass. This is Dale. Oh, yeah. I'm the drummer.
So Dale Moon on drums, Jennifer Young on bass, and Travis Larson on guitar. It's always about the guitarist, isn't it, Travis?
Well, yeah, I'm just like the guy that was in the band the longest, and people kept changing out, and band names kept changing, so pretty soon it was Travis Larson Band, which doesn't necessarily work for us, because everywhere we go, people go, oh, is it a country act?
It's true. I just had a guy say that to me yesterday.
Although there's not that much turnover. I'm the new guy, and I've been in the band 10 years, so it's not exactly like Spinal Tap with the exploding drummers or anything.
It was for a while, though.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a good stage gimmick. So how did you guys all meet? How did you get together? I couldn't find any information on that.
Well, it's all very top secret, Victrola.
Oh, right. And if you told me, you'd have to kill me.
Right. Okay. Now, well, here's the deal. Jennifer and I, we were both starting up playing about the same time in high school. It was a year before we met each other that we'd both picked up our instruments. I was starting to play guitar, and she was starting to play bass. And actually, she started out as a drummer.
For about a week till my parents were like, nope.
But so she moved to my area in high school, I think our junior year, and we met each other and started jamming together, and we've been playing together ever since. So that's like almost 20 years now, I guess. That sounds scary, but and then we went through like the Spinal Tap drummer regime, like we were saying, where it was just one after another finding guys that were good or that you could live with, and you know, drummers by adult standards are insane. Everybody knows that. So, and then we found Dale.
No argument here.
Dale, you can tell your story, Dale. How did we come about you?
You know, we have a mutual friend in a sound man who lives in our area, and he knew me when I was playing in a ska reggae rap band, but he also knew that I always listened to Steve Vai and Steve Morse and
Steve Lukather and Steve Ray Vaughan.
All guitar players named Steve I listened
Stevie
to.
Stevie Nicks.
That's more Kip. And, so anyway, he introduced us long before I was available to play with the band, and they already had a good drummer, and then things just sort of worked out later on to where the drumming spot became available, and it was meant to happen.
It was magic.
All right. So tonight these guys are going to be at Music Millennium at Northwest 23rd and Johnson. You can check out their website at www.travislarsonband.com. And you guys also have a MySpace page, which Jennifer, were you instrumental in getting that together there?
I guess. MySpace, I'm not a big fan of MySpace. I held off on doing it for a really long time. Finally, I was like, all right, we better do this. And then the day that I tried to get us onto MySpace, the whole thing crashed. So we have two MySpace accounts. One is Travis Larson Band. It doesn't work. The second one is the Travis Larson Band. And after about 6 months of waiting and trying to get it to work, it works now. So if I was instrumental in getting it up, I guess that's the story.
But Jennifer is the architect of TravisLarsonBand.com, and that's an excellent website, and that's the band's home site, and that's been up for a long time. So Jennifer is to blame or to applaud for that.
Yeah, we've actually had a website up since 96 or 97, like, you know, when that was just kind of starting to happen. So it's kind of cool because we got to bypass having to pay for all the search engine stuff, you know. it's just out there because through longevity and endurance, we're like the cockroaches that just won't die.
Okay, so are you going to play something for us, Travis?
Yeah, you know, I figured I'd start or stop with your favorite song. I'm not sure what you think I ought to do, but why don't we start with it? I know this is one of your favorites, and this is kind of well. Let's make sure this works first. You got that? Can you hear my guitar?
No.
So you should make sure that that's running. We might have to talk to somebody out there.
I can't hear the guitar.
But so this is I'll keep making noise until
you can't hear
until me tells me it's working.
I can't hear his guitar in the air. So I've just told Tony, and Tony is our esteemed sound person, and hopefully he's.
Can you hear it, Trav?
I can hear it, but you know, if nobody else can,
yeah, well, right now,
is it working?
Ooh, there it is.
Go ahead.
I just heard it for the first time.
Yes.
You got it?
Nicely.
Cool. So I'll do a couple of impressions for you. This is my elephant, you know, in case you like elephants.
This is the sound check.
That's my elephant. Let's see. Here's my horse, if I can do it. It's been a long time. Wait, here it is. there it is. Whoa, tricks. Trigger. So, all effects ripped off by Eddie Van Halen 20 years ago, but always fun on the radio, you know? So, anyway, back to my story.
That was very impressive. I really enjoyed that.
Well, you know, that's why they pay me the big bucks. But, so this is a song, it's very Jeff Beck influenced, and he's the reason I picked up the guitar in the first place. And a couple of years ago, when we came out with our Burn Season album, oddly enough, there were a lot of fires in California, and so this is a song called Burn Season. Is that right?
Yeah.
This is called Burn Season too?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. See,
we've had a real rough day.
It's been a long day, and we'll get into that after this. But so, yeah.
Title track from the Burn
Season. Let's play this song. This is Burn Season, which Victrola told me she likes a lot. We'll be right back.
love that. Yeah. You know, that's I'm unashamed in saying that that is one of my favorite new songs to play on the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because it's all about my choices, obviously. No, it's really
It's your show. It's your
well, show, yeah, but anyway, moving right along. That was wonderful. What are you playing through? Okay, here we're going to go into gear territory, which longtime listeners of this show know that I am not exactly the biggest gearhead in the world, so you'll have to put it in, like, you know, six-year-old terms for me.
It's a box.
Well, 6 years ago, 6 years ago, Digitech started thinking about making this box now. Well, actually, it's funny. We just got off this Digitruck. Digitech sponsored this thing called the Digitruck Tour that we actually, a lot of this tour was based around, and now we're kind of touring our way home from Seattle. We took the truck from San Jose, California up to Seattle playing a bunch of different music stores, some independents and some not so independents and all kinds of stuff. Independents, by the way, rule, and same with the radio, but that's a whole nother discussion. Anyway, so this is a Digitech GNX4, which is a really cool kind of on-the-floor processor for guitar players or bass players that has a built-in mic input, built-in MP3 player, an 8-track recorder, a drum machine. All this stuff's built into this one thing. And so, you know, it allowed me to write the record. I can basically come up with stuff on the road in a hotel room or whatever, demo a full song, save it to a disc, and then when we get back, have a whole catalog of stuff for the band to check out and decide that they want to completely change. But
Which actually brings me to my next question. What's the creative writing process for you guys?
That's kind of it. I'll come up with I'll come up with rough ideas for stuff and demo up parts of songs, you know, and the band really gets involved in the arranging, and then these guys are going to play stuff the way they play it. But I don't know, you guys want to touch base on any of that stuff? It is called Travis Larson Band for a reason. It's not just Travis Larson.
It seems like the last two albums we've developed a process where Travis will come up with song melodies and song forms, and then either Jennifer or I, as the drummer, Jen as the bass player, will put ideas into that, and then it'll go back into Travis's court. Seems like lately it's taken the form of I always take the longest to come up with a part, so it'll come rough draft to the drummer, then I'll come up with some ideas and send them back, and we'll all talk about them. And then once we all agree on what the drum and rhythm section parts are going to be, Travis starts solidifying the ideas, and we all sort of try to get it to the finish line at the same time, so we're all ready to record. I don't know if that made any sense, but
it that's did. What
it's been. It changes, you know, from song to song. Of course, that's kind of a general thing. But you know, like a lot of artists say, there's no really straight ahead way formula, you know, that we'll follow every time. It can change from song to song.
It happened by necessity on the Burn Season album because the studio we wanted to record at wasn't ready, so we just had to get as much as we could get done independently of each other, and then we realized how much more productive we were that way and how much more work went into the final product, and so it seems like we took that tack intentionally on the last album and worked great again, I thought.
So Rate of Change, when did that actually get released? It's just been recently, right?
Yeah, it was, what, late September, early October?
October 1st,
yeah. So we toured on that. Actually, we came through the Northwest once in October when it first came out. And
sorry I didn't know about that. I would have had you guys on the show.
Well, from now on, you won't be able to get rid of us. We'll be like
lovely. Perfect.
We're like a fusion fungus that won't go away.
Cockroaches, fungus, you got anything else?
But so we came through then, and then we were planning on doing some East Coast things and heading east rather than come north again for a while. But then this Digitech tour came together, and we were able to pull it together with some of our own stuff, and it turned into a good opportunity to come see everybody again. So here we are. And
great.
And it's going better every time. I mean, we're finding, you know, we live down in California where, you know, obviously San Francisco is a good place for music and pretty liberal, and people there are willing to check out new things. But then there's the southern end of California, which, you know,
Los Angeles.
Most jaded, you know, anyway.
You can't say any, of, those any of those
yeah,
words.
Yeah, I can't say it. There's a list of words on the wall I can't say.
Can you say Los Angeles?
Can you say?
Maybe we should write that up there on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's pockets of places that, yeah.
So the point is that you know, we're finding a lot of cool people up in this area and up in the Washington area that are really supportive of something other than the kind of typical cookie cutter, you know, commercialization music that's out there. And I won't mention any of those names either because it gets old talking about Britney Spears, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
she's so pathetic now. So, rate of change. I just played Winter Still right when you guys walked into the studio earlier, and the other tune from this that I've mostly been playing is Dear God. How hard is it to come up with song titles for you guys since it's an instrumental and there isn't really any lyrics and that kind of thing?
It's, the question is, how hard is it to come up with ones that you think are good? You know, because you can call it anything.
Yeah, we've come up with some pretty good ones that were like, that's lame.
Yeah, we, you know, you have what you call a working title when you're in the studio working on a record. And
one of them was Falcor and the Snowman.
No, it was Falcor and the Chopin.
Chopin, pardon me.
And kind of a parody on Falcon and the Snowman, because one of the songs, and we won't tell you which one, we thought had kind of a never-ending story. You know, the big fluffy dog that flies through the sky?
The Luck Dragon.
Yeah.
Yes. His name is apparently Falcor.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Just I mean, this is as geeky as it gets, people.
Do you seem any less rock and roll to you now?
Do we have any milk and cookies?
Oh, no. I was going to ask you also about the Terminator. We're going really into geek, deep into geek territory.
I was saying, now, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Probably No Fate.
Oh, really?
You picked up on that?
No Fate, yeah.
Wow,
that's
you
what
get the
I thought
geek
about.
Degree. That is
wow.
Outstanding.
That's one of my favorite movies ever. That and Aliens. As a matter of fact, I have the Aliens box set at home.
Wow, will you marry me?
I don't know if anybody...
already married and never mind. You're going to embarrass me, don't
you? So can you still hear this guitar? No Fate. No, I'll give it away here. This is kind of a slightly play on the Terminator melody. But at the end of the song, I just flat out do it, but it's like three octaves higher than the original, and it's kind of sunken back in the mix. And you're the first person on their own to ever just figure that out.
That's true.
That's pretty
cool.
Well,
I've only seen Terminator... I'm embarrassed to tell you how many times. That's why
you're
I'm
get
like,
proposal
my face
if you
is
do.
Red.
Well, let me tell you how bad it is where we are. Man, if our roadie Devin was here, it would be really ugly. But because we're Terminator geeks to the bone, and now everybody in California hates the Terminator. You know, unfortunately, but I still love the Terminator.
One of my jobs as the new guy in the band is to keep up with Terminator references, and I don't do that great a job. But you can't keep up with Travis.
So I have one of five heads cast from the Terminator from Terminator 2, and it's stage 7, I think, if that means anything to you. But it's around the time when, you know, right before he got his head knocked off and half of his face was, you know, crunched off by some kind of a large metal object
when it swung into his face.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
On display in his living room.
On display in my living room, right under three signed Rush records and a couple of our album covers.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But,
well done.
Yeah, so...
Anyway.
Wow, that took a geeky turn.
Yeah, let's get back to some music.
If anybody's still listening, by the way, we're giving away Rate of Change CDs. And you can call 503-725-5944. And here's the deal. If you call in and you want one of these, you have to meet me tonight at Music Millennium, and I will give them to you personally. So 503-725-5944 or 5945. That's right here in the booth. Travis Larson Band here on the Guitar Shop. Travis, why don't you play something for us? Oh, before I get to that, I promised to announce this. We have to thank a couple people. We have to thank John from the Bay Area. He's a big fan of yours, and he just called.
And hi, John.
He said hi to you guys, and he said he's free beers in the Bay Area if you play Morse code. He also wanted to hear Sticks and Stones or a jam with Triumph and Pink Floyd, since we played that earlier for you guys. Not that his demands, you know, it's never ending.
All right, but, I'll tell you what. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you who this guy is. Last time we played in the Bay Area, during a break, he came up and asked if we'd play Morse Code, which is off our first record. And it hasn't been on the tour list in years. It hasn't since, like, maybe the second tour. And we were like, oh, well, let's try it, you know. And we tried it, and we played every note perfect, but we had no idea how we were getting there. It was almost this out-of-body experience of hearing the song play itself, because it was still in muscle memory, you know. But with all that hype about that song, I'm actually prepared to play Sticks and Stones, and that's the first song off the new record. So,
and that's on your list there.
How about that's on my list. So how about I follow that request?
Travis Larson Band here on the Guitar Shop.
We'll be right back.
Yay.
All right. Sticks and Stones live from the Travis Larson Band here on the Guitar Shop.
With a pretty bitchin' bass solo by Jennifer Young, I must say.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, huh?
Yes, Jennifer. One of the reasons I started the Guitar Shop was to showcase not only the guitarists who never got airplay, such as Steve Morris and Steve Vai, some of the ones we've been talking about here, and, you know, more newer acts like you guys, but there's a small but mighty area of female guitarists who, you know, if the guys never get airplay, you know darn right well, you know, what's happening with the women who can really shred or, you know,
right.
or virtuoso in various genres, such as, you know, Jennifer Batten or, you know, even in blues, such as like Joanna Connor and some other folks. But
sure.
I hadn't found that many women who could play bass yet, and I'm really excited to see. I hate to make this sound like a novelty thing because I think it's 2007 and it shouldn't be, but you know. It's really great to see, you know, just a virtuoso female out there because, you know, the field's small enough to begin with.
Right.
And you play a bongo, you do not?
I do.
Yes,
I play the Music Man bongo and the Sterling.
Yes.
So I use both of those.
I think the bongo is such a great, visually, it's such a great looking.
Yeah.
I know people call it a toilet seat, but I think I think it's adorable.
It was designed by BMW, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That's,
I don't know much more than that, that they worked with BMW on that design.
Dudley Gimble, who designs all the Music Man guitars, is a good friend of ours, and, Jen was actually trying these things out before, you know, when kind of beta testing them with Dave LaRue from the Steve Morse Band Dixie Dregs, because I was sitting in a room watching them do this before
Dave
it came out.
Well, Dave and I were always complaining that they didn't have a 24-fret bass, Music Man, so we kind of bugged them enough, and that's what they came up with was the bongo. It has 24 frets versus all of their others that have 22, because we need those extra two.
Yeah, you need those extra two frets. Well, you know, when I... It's really the guitar player's fault because you know.
They make us play all that stuff with them. So
the nerve,
yeah.
So your list of influences reads like a who's who in bass, and also occasionally on this show we will do a bass shop and we'll play James Jamerson and Jaco Pastorius and Dave LaRue and all those, you know, Victor Wooten and all those folks. And my question to you, Jennifer, is: do you have a little solo bass piece of yours, or is it? Do you have something?
There's nothing that's been recorded yet. Mm-hmm. We did the song "Georgia on My Mind" on our Suspension record with Victor Wooten. He plays the bass on that, and he did about a minute long intro of just bass. So at the live shows, I will attempt to to do that.
She does just fine. Don't let her fool you.
She kills it.
But yeah, nothing recorded yet. You know, I always grew up with, you know, Geddy Lee was my hero, and he wasn't so much a solo bass player, so I never really had it in my mind that that's what I wanted to do or was gonna do. So I'm not big on the solo spotlight, but with the trio, you kind of have to have that diversity in sounds. So I'm being pushed more that way the further we go, and I'm getting used to it. Let me put it that way.
What do you consider your finest recorded bass moment?
You know, probably just that last song on Sticks and Stones. The bass solo in there is pretty sweet.
I'll tell you my favorite is actually off Heads or Tails on the Burn Season record. I think that's a really tasty solo. Mm. There's no slapping or anything on it. It's just got a really good feel.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. The really good one's that Georgia on My Mind. But, one of these days I am going to put something together that's more of a solo piece that's not an intro to a song.
Since we're in Portland, you know, I've had this idea, and they keep telling me to shut up because they think it's a geeky sounding idea. But, you know, Jennifer Batten lives around here.
Yes, she does.
And so I keep saying Jennifer Batten and Jennifer Young need to get together with a drummer named Jennifer and start a trio called Jennifer, right? And
they that's a great idea.
Do a fusion tour.
I just think that the band named Jennifer would be really dumb.
But you could call
they
it.
They would probably think you were like, you know, indie rock girl pop or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I thought they could call it Gen X or something and get it sponsored by Digitech.
There you go.
I like that. I like that. Yes, Jennifer Batten does. She moved here in 2004.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's a Digitech endorser as well, actually. So see how that could all work out?
It could work out. Well, maybe she's listening.
I'm a marketing genius, I tell you.
It's a second career, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Dale, I'm going to give the drums a little bit of time here.
Woo-hoo.
So you may have mentioned this, so just refresh my memory because it's been one of those weeks.
It'll be the blind leading the blind on memory challenges.
There we go. What do you play, and who's your drum heroes?
You know, my heroes come in a couple of stages. When I first started playing, I listened to a lot of Rush, like a lot of drummers, and Neil Peart is a great influence because he's so intelligent in the way he constructs parts. But then I also liked Van Halen a lot, and that's kind of like a yin and yang where one is just completely feel drummer and one is a really analytical drummer. I love my biggest drum hero of all time is Dave Garibaldi from the 70s funk band Tower of Power. He's just such a master of dynamics and syncopation that I don't think very many people have taken it where he's taken it. And then I really got into all the electric jazz fusion drummers like Simon Phillips and Dave Weckl and Dennis Chambers. Those are the people who I'm aware of having influenced how I play, the people I really got inside their playing and tried to understand it and emulate it. There's a lot of my favorite drummers I didn't mention because I don't think I sound very much like them, unfortunately, like Vinnie Colaiuta, Jack DeJohnette, Elvin Jones, just complete geniuses that I would like to cite as an influence, but don't really think I could.
Okay. So, back to gear, because I know that Travis plays a John Petrucci model, or at least is for now.
Yeah, I've got a few. This is what I'm playing right now is the Ernie Ball Music Man Petrucci signature model. And this is really, this was just coming out when I started using Music Mans. And this was kind of the closest thing they had around to an Ibanez, which is what I was playing before. Mm-hmm. But it feels much better. The Ibanez guitars, they've got really thin necks, and they tend to kind of cut into my fingers a little bit. It's like holding an unfinished piece of wood, you know. It's just not quite as comfortable. So this is a little rounder neck, a little more like a Strat. And then I have a new 20th anniversary Silhouette Ernie Ball Music Man. They started making those 20 years ago, apparently. And so I have that that's just got a beautiful maple top on it, and I've been playing that more and more and more. But this one here has been the road dog for the last few years, so it's the one I drag around. You know, when you have the one that you can't live without on an island. And I'm going to get there with the other one, but it's so pretty, I don't want to ruin it, you know?
Do you have a Steve Lukather model as well?
I don't have a Steve Lukather model, but you know, we worked with him. He played on the Burn Season record, and it was kind of fun because you know, Luke is at a level where he's got a guy moving all that stuff for him, and we were sitting in the studio before he got there for about an hour with all his guitars just lined up in front of us, you know, like candy. And he's got, you know, a guitar tech that comes in and gets that stuff all dialed for him. And ooh, to be Steve Lukather, you know. but his guitars actually play really nice as well. I haven't gotten into those just because there's a few things I like that the Petrucci has. One is the piezo output. It's like a pickup that a steel string acoustic would have. And I can show you real quick, kind of, if you wanted to get an acoustic sound on this guitar, you can plug into a separate output, which I run both outputs with my rig at a concert so that I can blend them. But let's see. So it sounds kind of like a steel string. Pretty nice effect. And that way I can blend that with the electric side, which is, you know, this would be an example of clean electric right here. And get, you know, when you listen to a lot of our records, you know, again, I'm really influenced by Steve Morris and the Dregs, and he overdubs like a madman, and doubling an electric line with an acoustic line and a violin and all that stuff. So I like a guitar. I, you know, that's why we get into toys. I like to be able to kind of represent that live. And I have a MIDI pickup on one of my guitars, so I can play the synthesizer stuff as well. And, you know, it's all me playing, but I can overlap three different sounds. So it's like having a keyboard player and an acoustic player and an electric player all playing in unison sometimes. And it just adds a lot to the trio, because, you know, a trio is what it is, and it's hard to fill the holes. So.
Well, I think you guys do a great job.
Oh, thanks.
So do you want to play something else for us? We've got about 14 minutes.
Sometime. Sure. Well, you were talking about drums. This is a... I'll plan on a few more here, but this is one that Dale had a big influence on the record, coming up with, you know, kind of cockeyed drum beats and submitting them to me and saying, come up with something that that will work with this. So,
go on, I dare you.
So this is what I came up with, and being that his name's Dale Moon, we called this song The Sorrow, so if that means anything to you.
That's some more geeky stuff geeky to figure stuff. Out if you want to.
Go on the Wikipedia. great.
It's Sorry like Tom that. Slick in here. Yay!
Now, see, I had to go up and look that up on Wikipedia because I didn't know what thesaurus meant.
Oh, gotcha.
And
well, so I'm going to read it out loud for everybody so we can all be smart together. The thesaurus cycle is an eclipse cycle with a period of about 18 years, 11 days, 8 hours, that can be used to predict eclipses of the sun and the moon.
There you go.
Yep. Get it?
That's,
moon?
That's
the
thing.
Moon.
One Saros after an eclipse, the sun, earth, and moon return to approximately the same relative geometry and nearly identical eclipse will occur.
You know, if your listeners are into this kind of things, there is a bevy of things to dig up in the Rate of Change album. There is a reference on every art panel and every little equation you see floating around. You can just go to town on that stuff.
Well, what about the there's a barometer or something on the front? A thermometer?
It's a thermometer. It's an old image of a thermometer.
Yeah. Where'd you guys get that?
That was something that my brother took a picture of, actually. And we were looking for a picture of a thermometer just for this purpose. And he said, I know a guy that collects antiques that has exactly what you're looking for. That's so he cool. took a picture of it, and then Jen completely photoshopped it and made it, kind of fit the mood of what's going on there.
It just seemed to fit with the rate of change, idea, a thermometer, you know.
Do you know what this looks like? I'm looking at the back of the CD, and there's this...
It looks like a... is it a flan?
No. What it looks like is it's a jello mold yellow version of the Devil's Tower in Wyoming, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've thought that a little bit myself.
Close Encounters of the, third kind.
So that's a melting ice cube. And it's actually just a picture. It was funny.
Light on it. Okay.
Jen said, I need a picture of a melting ice cube. And she ran downstairs. We were in the studio. And she came back 10 minutes later with a picture of a melted ice cube. And that's how simple that was.
Yep, that was it.
It's great. I would have never...
She said, actually, before she took it, she said, can I borrow your bike light?
Well, real high tech.
Jen does all the art direction on all the albums, down to the bass drum head on tour, and that's another one of her talents.
Except for the Burn Season record was done by Hugh Syme, which was a huge deal for us.
Yeah, I guess it was that.
Because he's the guy who did all the Rush stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and he was so great to work with, and he was, kind of one of my art heroes, and I had emailed him just saying... Would you do this? Kind of. And he got back to us, and we had many phone conversations about the ideas for Burn Season, and he thought that was such a great title, and it was really cool. It was fun.
Yeah, if we, as we get more income throughout the years, we'll put him back to work.
Yeah.
But that was great, because now in our living room, we have three of the, the early Rush albums on one wall signed, and then on the other wall, we have our album by the same guy, So it's kind of like, in our little minds, it's like full circle.
Oh, I think that's, yeah.
That's why you do this. So you can,
heroes.
Yeah, you can meet heroes and work with people you always wanted to work with and just do really cool stuff like that. And so not that we belong there in any way, shape, or form, but it's just cool.
All right. So we have about 7 minutes left. And... Oh. I wanted to announce where you guys are going to be. Tonight you're going to be at Music Millennium here in town in Portland, Oregon, Northwest 23rd and Johnson at 7 p.m. And then you're going to be at Old Town Coffee on, is that tomorrow? No, that's wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, that is tomorrow in Eureka, California.
In Eureka, California.
And we're actually only going there because Dale's family lives there.
Hi, Dale's family.
Hi.
And then if you go to TravisLarsonBand.com, they're going to be in Roseville and Pleasanton, and you guys are going to be in San Luis Obispo, right?
Yeah, that's where we are from, actually. That's our home base. So we get home, and then...
Beautiful town.
Yeah, it's a great place. And it's funny, we were up in Gig Harbor this past week up in Washington, and Gig Harbor and Morro Bay, which is basically the coastal town off San Luis Obispo, kind of the same place. It's Gig Harbor was more like Morro Bay in December, but... It was very similar, little fishing harbor. So we felt pretty at home up there. Just felt like a different time of year.
So is there any last things you guys want to do? You've got a few minutes here.
No, I thought I'd just strip down and run around the studio crazy. What do you think?
Sweet.
Well, Jennifer brought her camera for that.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jennifer should do that. That'd be better for all of us. Anyway, now.
I thought you might mention that, you know, the crazy day we had, because that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I got to tell this story real quick, and then I'll play one more song before we go. But, yeah, so getting here today, coming up to 5, we had a blowout in the van, fully loaded, full of gear, like completely overloaded van.
70 miles an hour.
Yep. And
on a time crunch.
On a time crunch, yeah. And we were to go to, you know, Music Millennium and set up before we came here. And didn't really completely accomplish that because we were an hour behind. But
we wanted to give a shout out to Les Schwab Tire Store in Vancouver. Because they
you know, what was the guy's name? Spencer?
Spencer.
Spencer got us rolling because he knew we were coming on your show.
You think Spencer listens to this show?
I don't think Spencer does, but maybe some of Spencer's friends do. And if you need tires in
Vancouver, Washington,
man.
Les Schwab Tires.
Those guys got us out of there in like 15 minutes.
Yep.
And we were, it was ugly. We had
a used tire for only $40. It was sweet.
So there you go.
Good deal.
This is our free plug after talking about sponsors all day. But so I'm going to play, no show is complete without this song. And, you know, Steve Morris always says this song has way too many notes in it. And we had to have a song that had way too many notes. And I'm not going to play too many notes, but it's a song with too many notes. This one, oddly enough, is called Barrage à Trois, which, you know, makes kind of sense.
It's a barrage of notes from three people.
Yeah, that's all it is.